But today we're actually going to be talking about something a little bit different. We're going to be in a couple of passages. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Romans 1. We're also going to spend a little bit of time in Psalm 103. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this before you answer. What do you think would be the most powerful emotion or the most powerful attitude to have? All right, most powerful emotion, most powerful attitude type of thing to have. Let's hear him. Somebody start throwing stuff out. I heard positive. I heard love, 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 love. Joy. That about covers it. Being positive, love, joy. Empathy, forgiveness. I was thinking about what we consider powerful emotions, what we consider powerful attitudes. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I was even thinking about a movie that when I first started planning on this sermon series that we're starting with today. I was thinking about this movie maybe 2 or 3 months ago. This movie came out 2 years ago, a little animated movie called Inside Out. Even had a little talk with someone about that this week. They had 5 different emotions that were part of that. It was about a little girl trying to understand her emotions. There was joy and fear and anger and disgust and sadness. I mean, think about how much of our life is wrapped up in those 5 emotions right there. Joy, anger, fear, distrust, and sadness. You know, we spend a lot of our time in all that. But I find that sometimes I think we mistake some things. Sometimes we tend to have like our A-list of emotions, right? Our A-list of attitudes. We look at love and we go, man, love, that is like the ultimate, right? You know, if I were to ask you, is there anything greater than love? Probably everyone would be like, no, because it's good. We look at that thing and we go, that is a powerful thing. We look at anger. Anger can be powerful, can it? Do I need to start with an easier question? Do y'all just not get angry? Do you know what that's like? Fear, you're very good at getting angry. Fear, happiness, all of these things are powerful. Now, Romans 1 tends to paint kind of a bleak picture of what life is like for us. Look at this in verse 18. If you've turned there, I'm going to start reading there. For God's wrath, did you catch that? God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. That's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it? Talking about God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness, against all unrighteousness, who have been suppressing the truth. I find that to be kind of sad. Now, incidentally, this whole thing, I meant to start off with verse 16 and 17. Let's look at that, because I want you to see that. This is how verse 16 begins. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Shame is a powerful thing too, isn't it? And notice here it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, in this, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The truth is the world doesn't live that way. So as a result, you see what we read through 18 through 20 there, that there's all kinds of godlessness, there's all kind of unrighteousness. Skip down to verse 21 here. Verse 22, I'm sorry. He's talking more about people here, and he says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, images resembling birds, images resembling four-footed animals and reptiles. And then you get to 24. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to a pretty bad list. To sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served what has been created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Verse 26 goes on and says, for this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. The women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men in the same way also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of error. And because they didn't think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they could not do what was right. They were filled with all unrighteousness. Look at this list here. Evil, greed, wickedness. They're full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters. They're arrogant. They're proud. They're boastful. They're inventors of evil. Don't you love that phrase? They invent new ways of evil. Isn't that awesome? Inventors of evil. Awesome, not in a good way. Let me rephrase that. Isn't that it takes some creativity to create a new kind of evil, but that's what people are doing. They're inventing new ways to be evil here. They're disobedient to parents. They're senseless. They're untrustworthy. They're unloving and unmerciful. And although they knew God's just sentence, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they even applaud others who practice them. That's pretty depressing, is it not? That is pretty sad. Now, what's interesting here, I've preached on this passage a couple of times, and I'm not going to do much about it, but I'm just using this as kind of an introduction to this series we're on. I skipped a verse. I skipped verse 21. And I want us to look at the last part of that verse. I'm going to put it up here on the screen for you so that you can see that. Here's what it said. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. I talked about how it's, when I preached on this passage before, that our minds become dark and confused. We begin to see things wrong. We begin to see things poorly. We begin to see that all of this bad stuff is even something we might want to applaud. We might want to say, hey, good for you for doing that, which is what, you know, what chapter 1 ended with. But there's something interesting to see here. Instead, they're thinking, did you kind of catch that? It said instead they're thinking? That's like saying that, okay, there's supposed to be one thing, but because there's not, this is what happened. The result of everything we've read is this instead. Do you kind of catch that? Because of all of this, because of something we haven't looked at yet, this is what's caused it. Our thinking's become worthless, our senseless hearts were darkened. So you can imagine whatever they're about to say is going to be pretty powerful, right? Here's what they said, the first part of verse 21. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were awakened. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I were to think about the most powerful things you could do as a person, number one on my list would be glorify God. Number one on my list would be glorify God. Recognize him as the creator, which is what this passage is dealing with. Recognize him as the God who's there for you, the God who loves you so much. But if I also want to say, if you want to fight against the dark and confused mindset that people have today, you know what I wouldn't have included? Gratitude. Seriously? Gratitude. I mean, don't we kind of see that as like a lower class thing? You know, don't we kind of go, okay, love is powerful, joy is powerful. I talked last week about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. We look at the fruits of the spirits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We look at all those things and we go, man, that's like the A team. Everything else is kind of the B team, right? Gratitude is something I would have relegated to the B team. But look at what happens here in verse 21. There's two things, glorifying God and showing gratitude. And as a result, when we don't do those two things, our minds become dark and confused, and we look at the bad things in this world and go, oh, that's the good thing. Gratitude is way more powerful than I think any of us realize. I think that's what Romans chapter 1, verse 21 is saying there, gratitude. Now, how many of you would be honest and enough with me and you'd say gratitude is like a B-class thing? It's not that powerful. Some of you are honest enough to say that. The rest of you are going, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. It is powerful. So we're starting a new kind of three-week series here that we're going to call The Wonder of Gratitude. And we're going to talk about a couple of things here over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. But I kind of want to start off just by talking about what gratitude is. I mean, when you think of gratitude, what's the first word that pops in your mind when you hear that word? I seriously want to know, when I say gratitude, what pops in your head? Okay, I didn't understand any of that. I'm sorry, guys. Thanks, thankful, grateful. See, gratitude and thankful, we kind of combine those two, don't we? We kind of equate the two in our minds, and we kind of go, okay, being grateful is the same as being thankful, but in truth, they're a little bit different. And I didn't realize exactly just how different when I started looking at this. And the first thing I did was look up the definition of thankful and the definition of gratitude. All right, which makes a good sense to go. Do you know what the definition of thankful included? Gratitude. You want to know what the definition of gratitude included? Thankfulness. Yeah, so I thought that kind of got me nowhere, right? Here's what I found interesting. You want to know what the difference between those two is? Thankful is an adjective, okay? Remember, an adjective describes something, right? Thankful is an adjective. You can feel thankful, right? Thankful is describing what you feel. Thankful is an adjective. Do you know what gratitude is? It's a noun. Do you know why you feel thankful? Because you have gratitude. Gratitude is so much deeper than feeling thankful. You with me on all that? Gratitude is so much deeper than feeling thankful. In fact, the definition of thankful, when I looked at Webster's dictionary, I think it was Webster's, one of the dictionaries, it said feeling or expressing gratitude. You have gratitude, so you express it, and that's where thankfulness comes from. So, I mean, here's a few things that I think that gratitude isn't, okay? Gratitude is not happiness. Happiness is what you get based on a circumstance, based on a feeling. You know, something good happens, so you feel happy. That's not gratitude, okay? Gratitude isn't conditional. It's not something that you get, so you're thankful. Gratitude isn't dependent on anything that you get. Gratitude actually isn't even guilt, either. All right, how many of you, when you were a kid, your mom tried to get you to eat all your food at dinner by saying, "They're starving kids over in Africa," right? That doesn't so much make you grateful for what you have as much as it makes you guilty for what they don't have, right? You know, and what was it the mom would always say? Be grateful that you have that because kids over there don't have that. And while that's fine, I want you to understand that probably the emotion you're feeling there is more guilt. You're not having this attitude of this gratitude here. It's a little bit different. It's not guilt, and it's not just about, a lot of times we think gratitude is just finding the joy in any circumstance. You know, we're going to put a smiley face on whatever bad thing you're going through. But gratitude is more than that. It's so much deeper than that. It's not about just putting a happy spin on it. So three things I want to talk about real quick here. First thing is that I want you to understand that gratitude is something you have. It's not something you feel. Okay? Are you with me on all that? Gratitude is something you have. It's not something you feel. What you feel is thankful, but gratitude is what causes that thankful feeling. Other thing here, gratitude is not dependent upon how your day has gone. That's important to understand. If you've had a bad day and you're not thankful, well, it's because you don't have gratitude. If you have a good day and you're not thankful, it's still because of gratitude. If you have a good day and you're thankful, but you're not thankful on your bad days, you know what you have? It's not gratitude. It's just you have a little bit of thankfulness. You've had a good day, so you're grateful for that. But gratitude is so much bigger. So I want you to understand what, when I talk about gratitude, here's how I'm going to define it so you can see this here. It's a mentality that recognizes a benefit. It recognizes something that is helpful, something that is beneficial, but it recognizes more than that. Its source and its source, wow, that's a bad typo. Its values and its source is what that's supposed to say. Sorry, y'all, I ran out of time this morning. So, I had to play guitar again today. I'm blaming it on Charlie. So I filled in today. So, yeah, I'm blaming it on Charlie. It's Charlie's fault. I spelled it wrong. I mean, you know, this is what it's supposed to say. It recognizes a benefit, its value, and its source. So I want you to see something here. Gratitude is when you see something that benefits you, okay? You recognize that. You recognize, oh, okay, this is a good thing. But you also recognize how it's important, how it's valued, and you also recognize where it came from. That is gratitude. And that's different from being thankful. And this is kind of deep. You guys with me a little bit? So I think that this whole little passage, Romans 1, 18 through 25, talks about some of these fundamental concepts in our understanding of God, our understanding of our human situation here. And I think that it's interesting here, because verse 21 talked about the two things that they didn't have. So as a result, God let them have their dark and senseless minds, their dark and confused mindset. Did you catch what those were? One was showing gratitude. What was the other one? Giving glory to God. All right. Glorifying God type of thing. And I think it's important here to realize that when they talk about the term glory, it's, you know, we tend to think of glory as kind of this big picture of displays and glorious things. You know, we tend to look at like the night sky. We go, oh, that's so glorious. It's so great. Do you want to know the Hebrew word for glory is? Glory in Hebrew actually means heavy. That implies like it's significance. It's a weight. For example, you know, if you want to know what my foreign policy for the United States is, that's a bit of a light policy. Do you know why? There's no weight behind it. Now, President Trump's foreign policy, his is weighty, right? Because he could actually do something about it. Are you with me on all that? That's this picture here. It's this picture of it's not about this dazzling beauty, but it's about the significance of it. And giving God the glory means weighing, it's almost like weighing God into your life. It becomes the most important thing that sets your priorities, that sets your values, that sets your attitudes. And failing to give God that glory means you're giving it to something else. So we fail to give thanks, we fail to view the way the gifts that God gives us, and we kind of start seeing things as entitlements more than gifts from God. We kind of expect them. Without them, we get frustrated, we get dissatisfied. It almost seems like our lives aren't as strong as they should be. So I think that, just a couple things before we get to Psalm 103 here. I think that we lose some things without gratitude. And the first is that I think we lose our sense of wonder. The life just becomes mundane. What's funny, for those of you guys that go to Honduras, and I hope that you have been praying about going. I'm so excited about this trip and seeing what all God's going to do. You're going to go to a country that's a little bit different than where our country here. And you want to know what's going to be interesting? You're going to spend time in Gracias, which is going to feel more familiar than life in Las Brisas. In an hour and a half drive up the mountain to go to Las Brisas, you're going to see two different cultures and two different worlds. Our translators last year even shared how even some of the dialect and the way that people talked was a little different between Las Brisas and Gracias. Gracias is a town about the size of Brownwood and Early. Las Brisas is a town of about 14 families. There's no power. There's no running water there. They have all that in Gracias. But what's funny is sometimes we kind of lose our sense of wonder. You want to know one of the most amazing things to me was? When we were traveling back last year from Honduras, and we were headed, it's about a 4.5 hour drive up to the airport, and we're heading back to the airport. You know what I was able to do while sitting in the car? This is pretty amazing. I video chatted with my wife. We FaceTimed in the car while I was in Honduras. Julie Jo's holding the phone, you know, and she's over there doing that, and we all had a nice little talk with Allison, who is hundreds and hundreds of miles. That's pretty amazing, y'all. You know what? I found myself going, I remember the mission trip days when you know, you'd be over in Africa or somewhere, and you'd be like, can we get a fax out today to let our families know we're alive? And they're like, maybe later. Come this afternoon. Maybe the phone lines will be up. You know, I mean, it's a different world. And I found myself amazed by that. Guys, this world around us is pretty amazing. And we need to keep our sense of wonder about it. Isn't it kind of funny that we have Dr. Locker here, and I think about how so much of our surgery, so much of our things today, we can tell you if you have a brain tumor without ever even having to make a cut on you. How amazing is that? Isn't that unreal? That should give you a sense of wonder. That should give you a sense of this amazing world that we live in here. But we lose this sense of wonder, and then when all of a sudden when our things don't work, we start to go, well, come on. We lose our sense of wonder when we don't have gratitude. Without gratitude, we lose our sense of value and we lose our sense of what's important here. You realize that all those times you get irritated for somebody for small things? I want you to think about this here for a minute. All those times you get irritated for somebody for a small thing, in a weird way, you're devaluing their life. In a weird way, you're saying, you know what? It's all about me. It's all about this. It's all about that. And I don't value whatever that is. We do this with our spouses. We do this with people we see, our coworkers. But without gratitude, value is lost. Gratitude and value go hand in hand. And when you've got gratitude, you value things. But we also, when we don't have gratitude, we don't really get much rest. We just don't. We're never at rest. We're dissatisfied with everything. We're always striving to get something that, frankly, isn't going to satisfy us either. And then we're going to just want the next thing. And then we're going to want the next thing. And we're going to want the next thing. There was a lady named Melody Beattie, and she said, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and then more. It turns denial into acceptance. It turns chaos to order. It turns confusion to clarity. It could turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. It turns problems into gifts, failures into successes, turns the unexpected into perfect timing, and mistakes into important events. It can turn an existence into a real life, and disconnected situations into important and beneficial lessons, because that's what gratitude does. And I think sometimes we lose kind of our sensitivity without gratitude. Here's something we need to realize. The daily habits you have today, they're going to shape who you are for the long haul. And that doesn't matter if you're 15 years old or if you're 75 years old. The daily habits that you have are defining who you are. If we express thanks today and then tomorrow and then the next day, we have those benefits of wonder and value and rest, and our character gets changed, because that's what gratitude does. So here's an interesting thing. I want to look at the first five verses of Psalm 103, because if we're talking about, all right, what reasons do we have to be grateful? What reasons do we have for gratitude? It's all going to start with God, and a lot of the Psalms are about expressing thankfulness, which comes from gratitude. And so I want us to look at the first five verses of Psalm 103 very quickly here this morning. My soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord. And then notice this, bless the Lord and do not forget what? All of his benefits. Knowing Jesus has some benefits, doesn't it? Blessing the Lord has some real benefits here. And I love how it says, my soul, bless the Lord and do not forget all of his benefits. So let's talk about some reasons we have to be grateful here. And you find those in 3, 4, and 5, and I want to read those before we get into it here. He forgives all your iniquity, he heals all your diseases, he redeems your life from the pit, he crowns you with faithful love and compassion, he satisfies you with good things, your youth is renewed like the eagle. So let's talk about this first thing here. Reason number one is just forgiveness. He forgives all of your iniquity. Iniquity is a big, funny word. How many of you use that in everyday life? Like, well, excuse my iniquity. You know, that's not a word we really kind of use much. But it means like faults. It means basically sin. It means the mischief that we have and things like that. And we've all committed faults. We all have these sins, and none of us is innocent of that. We know that that's what Romans 3:23 says. For everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that Romans 23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's this interesting thing here, that forgiveness of our iniquities is one of those reasons we have to be grateful. Jesus paid it all on the cross. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Through Jesus we've been forgiven, we've been pardoned, the slate has been wiped clean. There's no doubt that we're guilty of sin, but we've been pardoned. We've been forgiven of that. And I think the next reason, go down to verse 4, which I love verse 4, it says, he redeems your life from the pit. Because this idea of pit here, it's kind of death. It means destruction. Because that's what sin does. That's what Romans 6:23 says. In all of our lives, we have suffered from the sinful choices we've made. And sin, all the pain and suffering that goes on in life is all a result of sin. Have you guys ever thought about that? I know this summer, I believe it was this summer, we were looking at Genesis chapter 3. And I made the comment about how the entire earth, the ground itself, is cursed because of our sin. When mankind sinned, it not only affected mankind, but it affected this planet, it affected everything about us. But God is redeeming us. God is redeeming us from the pit. Is there a difference between salvation and redemption? Can you be saved from something, or can you be redeemed from something? If I'm standing out in the street and a big truck's coming by and somebody tackles me, you just saved my life. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, right? But redemption goes so much deeper. Redemption is you were willfully going the wrong way, and someone went and took you and turned you the right way. You catch the difference there? There's a big difference between being saved and being redeemed. And this is what verse 4 is saying. He redeems your life from the pit, which is where you were going because of your sin. And it's where, frankly, it's what we kind of deserve. Which is where the next thing goes. It goes into what I'm calling grace and mercy here. Notice it says he crowns you with faithful love and compassion was the rest of verse 4 here. Some of your translations use the word loving kindness. Some of you have that instead of faithful love. You have loving kindness. Yeah, I see some head nods there. it's not just enough to think about God loving us, and it's not just enough to think about God showing us compassion, but it's this loving kindness. It's a weird kind of complex thing, which is why our translators are all over the map on it. But notice here that this is talking about the things that God does towards us, that God is showing us favor. Now, grace and mercy, there's two different meanings behind those words. We kind of get those confused. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, right? You with me? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. If you don't deserve something and someone gives you something, that's grace. Okay, now mercy is different. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. All right? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You catch the difference between those things? Mercy, to me, is a whole lot greater than grace. To me, mercy is, you can have grace, and that's great. You're getting something you don't deserve, hey, that's fine. Someone walks up to you, gives you a $100 bill, and says, here you go, have it. You go, oh, that's so great. You know what they're showing you? They're showing you grace. If you owe somebody $100, and you don't have the money to pay that, if they forgive that debt, are they showing grace or are they showing mercy? Catch the difference between those here. And here is God, who is always faithful with his faithful love, with his compassion. He shows us grace. He shows us mercy. And not only that, but he renews our life. And that's what verse 5 goes into. You want a fourth reason to have gratitude in your life? Renewal. Verse 5, he satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. I love this picture here, because as Christians, you've been renewed. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day after day after day after day, because that's what God does. Guys, we have a lot of reasons to be thankful, but we're not going to be truly thankful if we're not really grateful. And this is just a long introduction to what we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks here. Because gratitude is one of the most powerful things we can have in our life. It's gratitude. It's not a second-class emotion. It's not just a second-class attitude. It's not just something that we kind of go, yeah, it's a good thing to have. No, it's a life-changing thing to have. And we'll talk about it more over the next couple of weeks. But find gratitude this week. Find reasons that you have to be thankful and let that grow into gratitude. You know, I talk about how thankfulness comes out of gratitude. You can be thankful without showing gratitude. You really can. You know, you can be thankful, but I want you to be so much more than that. I want you to be grateful. And so this next week, I hope that you will look at your life and you'll look at why you have to be grateful. Go read Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 again. We have reason to have gratitude in our life. Let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you for gratitude. We pray that it's going to change our lives, that we'll live in it, that we'll just follow you. Father, we are so grateful for you, and we are so grateful for how you have taken care of us and how you love us, how your grace and mercy is there for us. Be with us. For your name we pray. Amen.